Welcome to Greater Than Ghosts. I am your host, Danya.
And I'm Emily. We are so happy that you guys came back for episode 2. We are excited to continue to build this community of lightworkers that allows for us to all have a safe place to learn, to ask questions, to make mistakes. Each of our episodes, our intentions are to bring you guys information on different aspects of lightwork. We're going to go over things like how to meet your guides. Who are your guides? Why do you need a spiritual team? How do you work with them? How do you work with your chakras? Cleansing your spaces, divination tools like tarot and pendulums. And we're even going to dive a little bit into the world of paranormal investigations. Before we get started with our episode today, I want to take just a minute to let you guys know how to reach us. Our email address is greaterthanghosts@gmail.com. You can also reach Danya at her website, danyakemp.com, or me through my website, blackcreekparanormal.com. So let's go ahead and get started with today's episode. We are going to dive into the world of clairs.
So the most frequently asked question I get from people about what it's like to be a medium is, do you see people around me? They're always wanting to know if I'm seeing people like in physical form, like Sixth Sense style, or like, you know, what's that movie? Ghost.
Right. I get that too. Like, are there people around me all the time? Yeah.
Yeah. And so the answer is no, I'm not, you know, driving down the street seeing ghosts everywhere. That's not how this works. What happens is we have special senses, like little spirity senses, like a spidey sense that allows us to gather information from the spirit world, just the same way we have our physical senses of see, hear, sight, smell, and touch in the physical world. And so basically what's happening is I'm getting all this information from all of these different clairs and I'm putting it together. It's all helping me understand and construct knowledge as I get information through all these clairs. So it's kind of the same way you would have an experience in a place. Like if you're at a racetrack, you might see a race car and you might smell the gasoline on the track and you might hear the cars. And you might feel like the energy and presence of all these other people in the stadium with you. And all of that's giving you information about where you are. It's kind of like that. You get all this information from different clairs, and then you put them together and it becomes meaningful to the person who is receiving the reading.
Right. And it's important, I think, too, to note that it's not always meaningful to you. And I think I get hung up on that a lot. Like if I see a race car, it's like, okay, well, what does this mean? Well, you know what? It's not my business what it means. Like my business is to be the medium, to be the person in the middle that gives that information to the sitter. It's their job to know what it means. It's not my job to know what it means. I just need to give that. So I can get that information by, you know, seeing a race car, smelling the gas, all the things that Danya was just going over with you guys, that it can all come to you through your clairs.
So clair is just a prefix from the French language that means clear. And so we have clairvoyance, which people are most familiar with, and that means clear seeing. There's also clairsentience, which means clear feeling, clairaudience, which is clear hearing, clairalience, which is clear smelling, and clairgustance. I never pronounce that word right. It means clear tasting. And so some people have stronger use of some clairs than others, but you can strengthen the use of all of these clairs in your spiritual practice.
Yeah, the class that you and I met through is ran by a lady that I've worked with for a while, and Danya, you have as well, Amy Utzman. And she explained it like trying to learn, like, or trying to communicate with someone who speaks a different language than you, right? So if you go to speak to someone who speaks German, you don't know what they're trying to say. So it's almost like this game of charades that you're playing. You're trying to use all your senses to figure out what they're trying to tell you. And it works the same way I feel in the spirit world. They're trying to get this information to you any way they can. And I even like to, before I do a reading, and Danya, you can speak to your practices, but before I do a reading, I'll sit in a little meditation and ask my guides, bring me this information as clearly and concisely and correctly as you can. I prefer, if you use my strongest clairs, I prefer to get clear, you know, something clairvoyantly or clear sentience. Now, are they always going to do that? No. Most of the time, you know, it's going to be, you know, I shouldn't say most of the time, but a lot of times it will be other players, which is why you have to continue to practice the ones, even that you're not the strongest. Use, you know, like my clairaudience, I was telling Danya earlier, I rarely can use that, but that doesn't mean they're not going to try to communicate the information that way. So I need to get good at it. I need to be able to receive that information that way.
That's such a great example. When I think of it, I think about a baby. And when you have a baby and the baby won't stop crying and you have no idea why they're crying, you have to start to use all of your senses to try to figure it out. So you might start with smell. You might start trying to smell. Does this baby need their diaper changed? You're also hearing them cry. You're looking at them and you're looking for any sort of sign that might indicate where they might be in distress. Sometimes the baby's crying so much, you even start to look at their toes. You look at their fingers looking for what's making, is something sticking the baby? Is something making the baby uncomfortable? And really, you really lean in with your heart, you know, like you lean in with your heart to emotionally connect with the baby and why they're crying. And you lean in with to soothe them and connect with them. And so like, that's the way I think of Claire's working. It's trying to communicate with that baby when the baby can't just tell you, this is what I need. You have to put all these pieces together.
That's a great example. I like that a lot. Because you're right. It's just, I don't even want to say it's guessing. It's not guessing. It's just using all of the pieces and trying to figure what that, figure out what that puzzle is. Clairvoyance. I'm going to start talking about, we'll start diving into the different clairs. And we'll start with clairvoyance because that's the one most people know about. That's the one you hear about the most on TV and in the movies. And, you know, they portray it sometimes as you actually are seeing spirit with your physical eye. Well, that's not how that works. You don't see them with your physical eye necessarily. You see them in your mind's eye. And we'll be doing a show soon on practicing that a little more because it does take practice. And it does take, what's that word, differentiation. Because sometimes you wonder, this is my personal experience, is that my imagination? Or is spirit really putting that into my mind's eye? So it takes practice to start to trust that piece of it. But you're seeing this in your mind's eye. So like I said before, you're using the race car example again. They might show you a race car. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that they were a race car driver? Does that mean they like to go to the races? Does that mean that they like to tinker on cars? What does that mean to them? Well, it's not your job to know. It's your job to give that information. I personally like clairvoyance a lot because of my skeptical nature and my my distrusting nature, I guess. And as the podcast goes on, you guys will learn that about me. I am very skeptical, which makes what I do a little bit more difficult. But it's tangible. You know, I see that race car. I see whatever it is they're trying to show me. And I'm not having to, there's nothing to second guess. It's just there. It's just there. It's tangible. And I can share that information with my sitter. Did you want to add anything to that, Danya?
I love clairvoyance because
it's so nice.
I love to go on mind movies. Like when a spirit comes through and they take me on a mind journey and show me all over, you know, an experience or a place. I love that because you get to see so many details and it feels like you really, at least I do. I feel like I'm like going to this place and it just makes it easier to tell a story with the information. And I feel like I get to see so many little fun details. It's kind of like, you know, when you go over to a friend's house and they have different art on the walls and they've got little different trinkets and you get to notice it. Oh, what does this mean? What does that mean? Tell me, where'd you get this? That's the way it feels like I'm visiting a friend and I'm getting to look around their home and find out all about them from clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance.
It also, though, is the hardest to put to the side to develop other clairs. Like, it's so hard for me not to want to just focus on that one.
Right, because it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's, to me, between that and clairsentience, it's the easiest one for me. Now, that's not going to be true for everybody. But for me, like, just seeing that picture there, I can, like you said, I can go on a tour of a house. I can go on a tour of a vacation that they took. I can see all of these things tangibly. Now, we are going to talk to you guys and give you a few tips as we go through this episode on how to practice, how to strengthen these clairs. So when you think about clairvoyance, clear seeing, you want to practice, you want to strengthen that third eye. And some ways that you can do that, I always preach, and it's not fun, meditation, because that's where you can just kind of sit in silence. Now, Danya, I know you have a different way of doing it, but I will sit in meditation and I will visualize different things. So I can, for example, I can visualize, I don't know, a park, and I can see all the things in the park as detailed as I could possibly get it, right? So you want to see the grass, the bushes, the squirrels, the lady walking her dog, and just imagine. Some other practices that you can do is, and this is something that I have done before and it works, you find a friend and you practice telepathically sending symbols back and forth to each other, signs, messages, mm-hmm. and just keep practicing over and over and over until, you know, they're seeing the red triangle that you're putting out there for them to see. So that's something that you can do to practice. Also, this is something that I've read about, and if you, your third eye, guys, is located kind of between your eyebrows, but up a smidge. And you can practice energetic tapping there. And I've heard that that will, I've never done it before, but I've read that that will also help open up that third eye to allow you to strengthen that clair a little bit.
You mentioned to Amy earlier, and she taught me an exercise to develop clairvoyance, and that is to play Spot the Difference games. So you can find these free games, like cell phone games for your phone, where they have two images and there's very subtle differences between the two. And you have to try to spot what's different about one image than the other. And I tried that and it really does help. It is tremendously helpful because it really does train you to zoom in to even the tiniest details. And then also those games where it's those books where it's like, there's like Where's Waldo, or there's these other books where it's like a million different little objects on the page and you have to try to find certain objects. They definitely help me like learn to zoom in. And it does apply in my readings, right? Like I'm practicing with my physical sense of sight, but it helps train my clairvoyance as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a great practice. I remember her teaching that in that, was it level one? That she taught that in? I don't remember, but I do remember that one. That one I really liked. That was fun to do. So yeah. That's clairvoyance. Donnie, do you want to talk a little bit about clairsentience?
Yes, because this is my favorite. I love clairsentience. And the reason I love clairsentience so much is because this is where I think, this is Donnie's opinion, this is where trust is grown. Developing clairsentience helps develop the trust you need to dive deeper into mediumship or whatever your light work, you know, modality is. And so clairsentience just means clear feeling. And so this could be, we all have this sense, right? And we'll notice it like when you're in danger, you might notice like people will say the hairs on my hand, my arm stood up, or they might feel like this sort of sense that the person behind them is not safe or that something dangerous is about to happen. You can just get this feeling that like something is just off and your body starts to, it like feels like it's on a different frequency or a different vibration. It just makes you more aware of your surroundings. That's your clairsentience at work. And that clairsentience can grow into being a clair that you can use, not just when you're in danger, but to communicate back and forth in readings and with spirit. And so this is your most common clair. And also when you're learning mediumship, a lot of times you start by developing clairsentience and then it grows from there. So this is also what people call their gut feeling. So you feel this sort of, for lack of a better word, quickening in your gut, whether it's when you're trying to make a decision or you meet someone and you just have this physical feeling in your body about them. That's your clairsentience. And so the best advice I could give anyone working in light work is to fully develop your clairsentience and learn to trust it. Because it will serve you whether you're in a mediumship reading whether you are out and about, if you're in a work meeting, if you've got major life decisions to make, getting in touch with your clairsentience is getting in touch with yourself, your intuition, like the core of who you are. And so when you learn to trust that, it makes it easier to trust your other clairs and trust information you're getting. So that's my favorite.
I like that one too. And I feel like the more you trust that clair, the more you trust that feeling, the not only the better, you know, that's going to get, the stronger that clair gets. But I also feel the opposite, or kind of, if you were to flip that around, you know, if you stop trusting it, if you stop believing what it's telling you, I don't think spirit will communicate that way anymore. They're going to go, okay, well, you know, that person's not listening. And it kind of starts to fade away. I think the trust is so important with that clair, with really all of them. If you want to keep practicing, you've got to just believe it. You've got to trust that that is the accurate information that you're getting. And I think it can come to you in a lot of different ways, right? It can come to you with joy. You can feel someone's sadness. You can feel they're a grumpy person, if they're an excitable person. I know I did a class one time where they had us, instead of practicing, what do you see? Like, are you seeing a woman? Are you seeing a man? Are you, is this person tall? Is this person short? Is this, you know, all of those things that you go through in the beginning. This instructor had us feel the person first. What do they feel like? Do they feel like they're a happy person? Do they feel like they're a grouchy person? Are you feeling like they're funny? Are they making jokes? And trying to get our sitter, the person we're reading for, to understand who we're talking about without giving them physical appearances to go on. And that was a lot of clairsentience. You're pulling, like, you can almost feel it in your gut when that happens. You can feel that pull of energy in your stomach. Do you get that, Donya? Do you get that pull?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so you're talking about all these different things you can feel. And I think that's so important for people to know that clairsentience is kind of an umbrella. And you can feel, just like you said, you can feel emotions of a person. You can feel physical sensations that might reflect something they physically experienced. So, for example, if someone had a certain injury, you might feel sensations in that part of your body. All of those are different forms of clairsentience. We could do a whole show just on clairsentience, because really there's different forms of it, but we're all going to have it under the umbrella of clairsentience. The other thing I think is important to know about this is it's kind of the first clair you develop. For me, it's one of the most important, because when you're doing a reading and your conscious mind tries to come in, or maybe there's distractions in the environment, you go back into your clairsentience in order to deepen your connection. But the third thing I think about clairsentience is that is the most ignored clair. I think we have been conditioned to believe that information and knowledge is only valuable if it comes through a hierarchy controlled by somebody else. We have all these systems that gatekeep knowledge and information. Thank you, colonization. And so when information doesn't come through this hierarchy, we don't trust it or believe it, because we're conditioned not to trust ourselves and our own intuition as much as we would trust, you know, people outside of ourselves, right, and their, air quote, expertise. But for me, clairsentience is really connecting to spirit in its purest form. It's connecting to your own intuition and to yourself. And so when we put that energy into connecting there, I feel like that is when we really deepen our trust, not just in spirit communications, not just in guides, but in our eternal connection to source, light, spirit, whatever you want to call it. And when you strengthen that connection, it sort of blooms into everything else.
Because you're absolutely right. When you start to trust yourself, then you can make your own decisions without relying on outside sources.
Yeah, because we're so conditioned to think that when we have a challenge or problem, we need to think our way through it. So even in mediumship, when I first started practicing mediumship, and I'd be in a reading and get kind of stuck, I would start trying to think my way through it, you know, logically put things together through my conscious mind. Because like that's conditioning, right? Indigenous ways of knowing and connecting were really more in your body than they were in your thinking brain. And that's kind of flipped. Historically, that's been flipped. And now I'm super happy to see it flipping back again, where we're learning to make those connections again. And we're returning back to that connection to spirit and earth through how we feel. So I love clairsentience, and I have a million ways to help develop it. The first way I want to give you is dancing. This is how I meditate. I do sit and meditate, and I sit in the power. But the strongest way that I have developed my clairsentience is by dancing. And it's not pretty, y'all. It's not pretty. It's just me in a room by myself with headphones, and I'm just dancing. It does not matter what the music is. I just move my body however it wants to move. And I have found some amazing connections have come in the middle of that. A lot of times, like, I'll be dancing and somebody will come through for someone I know, and I'll stop and have to do a reading in the middle of what I'm doing. So all kinds of, you know, like, there's all kinds of stuff we can learn about the connection between moving our body and moving our emotions and moving our feelings. So somatic practices, dance, all of that is really supportive of developing clairsentience and mediumship. The other thing I love to do, I don't know about love to do. I shouldn't have said I love to do it. But what I have found is super helpful is the more you can learn about emotions, your own and others, the deeper your clairsentience. So like Atlas of the Heart, Brené Brown's book, which is just a dictionary of emotions and feelings, has been so helpful as a medium. Because when you're doing a reading and someone's coming through, they're giving you all this information about their emotions, their feelings, their experience. And the more that you have language to be able to identify those feelings, the easier it will be.
I can so if you're that, like, oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many readings I've done where I don't have the word for what I'm feeling. I don't have a word for that. What is that book called?
Atlas of the Heart.
Atlas of the Heart.
So for fun, there's an HBO special where she teaches the whole book in a like 4-part series.
Get out of here. That is awesome.
It's so great. It's so great. It is probably, it's got to be in the top 5 of my resources that have supported me as a medium. And it has nothing to do with mediumship. But mediumship is all about spirit and feeling and emotions. So,
and giving that message accurately, giving that message to the sitter the best way you can, and having that vocabulary is incredibly helpful.
And then to be able to notice the subtle differences in your body of what does anger feel like versus resentment versus disappointment versus fear versus anxiety. And, you know, so if your lexicon is just sad, happy, mad, it may be hard to communicate with spirits who are giving you really complex layers all at one time. So I love that tool. And then I'll just give you a practice you can do to help develop that skill. So you're going to rub your hands together really fast to like get hot. So rub them together, you know, for a few seconds, maybe 5 seconds or so, and then take them apart slowly and notice the energy that you feel in between your hands. And then you can move your hands in and out like an accordion slowly and notice how the energy shifts and changes as you move your hands out and as you move it back in. But you're really drawing your attention to what do you feel in your hands? Do you feel vibrating? Do you feel tingling? Did they get warmer? Did they get colder? Do you feel, you know, twitches in your fingers? And then hold on to that feeling that you're feeling in your hands. That sensation, let's say that's hard and you're like, I rubbed my hands together, I don't feel anything. For some folks, that could be really hard. So we can scaffold it down one more level. Take your pointer finger or any finger. You can use whatever finger you want. But take your pointer finger and you're going to notice every single thing you possibly can feel about it. Like take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and literally notice every detail. So the longer you pay attention to your finger, the more you're going to notice. So at first, you probably won't feel anything because that's not something we're drawing our attention to normally. But the longer you look at it, you'll start to feel pulsing. And then you might start to feel tingling. But like, draw your attention to your fingernail. Like, notice how the fingernail feels in your finger. Notice the bone in your finger and how does it feel? And how does it feel surrounded by tissue? Like, the longer you do it, it's almost like you can feel blood moving through your finger. So, that attention to detail that starts in your finger is what you start with in your gut when you're sitting in the power. And for folks who don't know, we'll do that another time, but it is an active meditation that we use in order to build our power and communicate in the spirit world. Now, let's say the fingertip is still too hard. You looked at your finger, but all that happened is you looked at your finger, you don't feel anything. Take that same finger and you're going to imagine you have a feather and you're going to gently rub the feather on your finger and imagine what would that feather feel like on your finger. And you might start to feel little subtle shifts. And if that doesn't work, you're gonna get a real feather and you're going to rub the feather very gently up and down around your finger and notice the sensations you feel from the feather. You can do that on your finger, you can do that up your hand, arm, you can get a friend, do that with your whole body. And the more you can notice the sensations on your body, the more it wakes up your clairsentience. And if you take a feather and you like rub your arm with a feather once, then sit with it and notice, like, what do I still feel? Right? So, like, rub it with a feather, and then one, two, a few seconds, and notice what sensations are still in your body after that.
Those are
And that's a
amazing
great way to start.
practices. Yeah, that's good practice for now. Like, I've been doing this for a few years. That's good practice for now. To sit there and do that. I was kind of doing the finger thing when you were talking and like trying to imagine the tissue and the bone and the muscle. That's pretty cool. You can feel like sensation there.
Yeah.
That's
And
awesome.
then when you know what that sensation feels like, you kind of know what to expect in different parts of your body. And so the more you practice it in a small way, the more you can just go to that feeling at any time. That's
All right, let's move on to clairaudience. Clairaudience is probably my weakest. I don't want to say my weakest clair. There's a one that's probably even weaker than this one. But I don't get this one very often. I don't get to experience it very often, and it's probably because I don't practice it enough. But clairaudience just means clear hearing. And it's when you get little sounds, phrases, words. Sometimes if you're very good at this, you probably could get sentences. Now, I do want to just take a moment to put out there that there are mental illnesses out there where you are hearing things, and that is not, it's very different than what we're talking about here. It's very different than clairaudience. And one way that you can tell the difference is clairaudience, you're getting message from spirit, and it's going to be uplifting. It's going to be peaceful. It's going to be positive. It's not going to be negative. It's not going to be harmful. If you're hearing those things, that's not what I'm talking about. That's something that we should probably address with a medical professional. We are not medical professionals. We are not giving medical advice here. We are just letting you know about this particular clair. Most of the time, these messages will come to you in little bursts. So it'd be a short phrase, a word, maybe two words, sometimes even just a sound. I'll give you an example. I did a reading for a lady. This is a couple of years ago now, but I heard the word mija, and I don't speak Spanish. I've never spoken Spanish, but I said that to her, and she said, "Yeah, that's my grandmother. That's what she used to call me." So that would be an example of clairaudience. It's positive. It's happy. It's an identifier, right? That's how this girl knew that her grandmother was coming through to bring her a message. In no way is it going to be harsh or harmful. So keep that in mind when we're talking about clairaudience here. Sometimes you'll even get little snippets of songs in your ear, right? You'll get that little snippet of a song that comes through. Pay attention to those lyrics. Pay attention to what that's saying to you. That could be a message from spirit in that way. I do remember one time I had just a quick story. I had a dog that passed away a couple of years ago. He was a boxer and he was a big oaf. Just he had maybe three brain cells in his whole head. But we had him for a really long time. He was, I want to say 12 or 13 when he passed away. And he passed very, very quickly. Like it was, he was here one day and gone the next. But he, I worked from home at the time. And we played this game every day. It was great. It's where he in, would come to my desk while I'm working. And he would do that noise. You know what dogs do where they don't bark, but it's like that. Arr, arr, arr. They, like, he thinks he's human. So he's trying to say human words. He doesn't know that he's a dog. So he goes and he would come to my desk and he'd do that. Arr, arr, arr. And that was, I need to go to the bathroom. So I would get up and let him out. And we did this 20 times a day because, you know, he's the boss of me. So we would get up and down and up and down. Well, he passes away. And I don't know, 3 or 4 days later, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm doing my work. And I hear, arr, 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 arr. And I push my chair out to let him out. Before I realized, oh, he's not here anymore. So it was a very sweet moment for me that I heard that. Aww. I heard that clairaudiently. He was there still, wanted me to let him out 15 times a day. But he that's a good example of clairaudience. So it's always going to be something positive. So if you're hearing the negative, if you're hearing harsh, if you're hearing harmful, that's something very, very different than what we're talking about. Another way that you might get that is just sounds. I know sometimes people will get, and Donya, you may be able to speak to this a little more than I can, but I know people will get, if they're trying to get a name, they might get like a T and it's Thomas, or it's a D and it's Donya, or, you know, you might get that little bit of a sound to help lead you down the path that they want to lead you on.
Audience is so hard for me.
It's really
definitely my hardest, Claire. And I do get those sounds that you're talking about. It might be like the sound of a plane taking off or ocean waves, or it might be a train whistle or birds chirping. But it's really, it's so, this is the one I practice the most.
Yeah. I don't practice it enough, I don't think, because it is hard and it is difficult for me to get that. And there's some people that I'll sit in circle with them and they're like, oh, yeah, I hear. Bop, 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 bop. And they can give you a whole story based on just clairaudience. It's really amazing that they work so well with it. Something else I wanted to just point out, because you hear a lot of people talk about tinnitus, the ringing in your ears. And I don't know if you've heard
that.
Yeah. And so, like, I've heard different things like, oh, it's spirit. Oh, it's angels. It's, you know, it's just tinnitus. I need to go to the doctor. So there's a lot of things that could be. I don't really have an opinion on it. Do you?
For me, it's a really strong like connection to spirit. So my ears will ring. It's almost like a doorbell for me. When that happens, I'm like, looking around, like, who's ringing my doorbell? And it tends to be louder when I'm more engaged in light work. When I'm more engaged in the spirit world, the ringing tends to be much louder. It is much louder now that I practice professional mediumship than it ever was before. It's something I had forever, but now it's like loud in my ear. I haven't figured out like, what does it mean if it's in this ear or that ear? Does it have a different meaning? But it definitely is connected to when I am doing spirit work. That's what I tend to do is when I start to hear that ringing, I go to my clairsentience. When I get any other information in the spirit world, I go to my clairsentience first and foremost, and then I look and see what it is after that. And the reason for that is because without that clairsentient connection, you're too much in your head. Mm-hmm. So your fear and anxiety will be like an overlay over anything that you hear or see or experience in clairs, which is why I'm always going to go to my clairsentience first. I want everything, any information I get, to be filtered through spirit and not through my conscious mind.
Right. With clairaudience, the ringing in the ears, going back to that, I think I get it more when I'm not practicing. I don't know if maybe I've thought about this, like maybe it's like a little knock on the door, like, hey, you know, pay attention. You're not practicing enough, because I'll get it driving down the road where I'm just not even thinking about anything, you know, other than driving. I get it in odd times. I don't really get it when I am practicing or I'm working with spirit in any way. So that's why I don't really have an opinion. I don't know what it means yet.
I don't tend to get it like in the middle of a reading. But say like the last few days, I've done a lot of readings and all kinds of super weird spirity things are happening in my house. So the ringing has been crazy, but I don't get it during a reading, which I guess is I'm really grateful for that because that would be
It
distracting.
would be very distracting.
Yeah.
A couple of things you can do to practice your clairaudience is just sit in silence. And that can be really difficult. I know it's difficult for me, but just go outside and sit in the grass. Go out to a park and sit and listen. Listen for all of the sounds that are around you. Listen to, if you're sitting in your house, listen to the air conditioner or the ceiling fan or, I don't know, the kids playing in the yard next door. If you're at the park, listen to the wind, listen to the animals that are there, and really practice hearing. Practice listening to all those little tiny details.
I love that. And I need to do that more. Sometimes I will put on noise canceling headphones and sit in the power and then just notice what are the first sounds I hear and then try to dive into that sound. And that's usually like if I'm communicating with a family, my own family members. So like if I want to talk with my own family members, I'll sit and do that and just hear in silence, what do I hear? That way, I know I'm hearing something because there's not any background for me to hear. I got to keep working on it, y'all. That one is a challenge. But sometimes also it depends on who the spirit communicator is. So like sometimes I'm getting all this other information, and you can give an amazing reading with you don't have to have all of your clairs firing
Oh,
perfectly, and you
no.
can still give an amazing reading. But a lot of times, clairaudience comes later in the reading for me once my clairsentience is deeply established and I'm deeply blended with the communicator. Then clairvoyance will come. And then, if I'm deep enough into that, clairaudience will come. And it's almost like, not almost like, I'm having a conversation back and forth. And I love that. And that just requires me to just be more deeply blended than in the beginning.
All right, Danya, you want to tell us a little about claircognizance? I get this one and
Claire,
clairsentience. It took me a long time to distinguish between these two.
yeah, claircognizance is, I think, hard for people to accept because there's no evidence that goes with it. So with clairvoyance, if I describe somebody's grandmother's living room, they can prove to me that that's what that living, you know what I mean? They can tell me, yes, that is what it looked like. Yes, she did have that vase over there and this pattern on the couch or whatever. But claircognizance, I can't prove to myself how I know it. So it's been harder for me to accept it. But claircognizance just means clear knowing. It's an instant inner knowing. You have no idea how you know this. You just sort of like in the blink of an eye, you just know it. This could be something that you probably experience throughout your day, throughout your life, where somebody calls you out of the blue and that you didn't know was going to call, but somehow you knew they were going to call you, or you just know what song is going to play on the radio next. Things like that. You just know it and you don't know how you knew that was going to happen. That's your claircognizance. I think claircognizance is really hard to separate from clairsentience because the minute you know something, feelings get attached to the knowing. You know what I mean? If you knew that you won the lottery, you would know you won the lottery, and immediately, I'm presuming, a lot of joy would attach itself to that knowing. So that's the way that I separate the two. Claircognizance is knowing what's going to happen. Clairsentience is the emotion that immediately attaches itself to that knowing.
Yeah, I like to say that clairsentience is more of like a physical feeling than a thought necessarily. It's just that, like, you're gonna feel it in your body, where claircognizance is more of that little instant thought.
Yeah, and I think like you said this earlier, but like you have that sense of knowing, but it's in your gut. Not everybody's sense of knowing is in their mind. So your sense of knowing doesn't have to be in your conscious mind, if that makes sense. It could be something you know in your body. So it is really hard to separate the two. And sometimes it can seem like it's hard to develop, but it just requires a little bit of trusting yourself and practicing. So one way I love to do this one is guessing what song is going to come next on the radio. This could be getting, oh, my kids do this to me all the time. They want to play rock, paper, scissors, and they'll put it behind their back, and they'll want me to guess what they're going to put out. They no longer play with me now because I win every time. And in fact, sometimes we play, I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And sometimes when we play games, they'll be like, "Mom, no psychic." And sometimes it happens accidentally. Like we played Clue the other day, and like immediately when we start the game, I was like, "This person did it here with this." And that was exactly the answer. And I didn't mean to know. I just did. So your claircognizance just works. It's not something you have to try to get yourself to know. It's just, you just know. And so I make better decisions when I trust my claircognizance. But a lot of times we will know something and then like talk ourselves out of it. I'm just going to say the automatic writing is another suggestion I really love to do. It's where you get a notebook out. Again, this helps if you start in your body first, get into that meditative state where your body's still and calm, and then just write whatever comes out. Don't think about what you're writing next. Just write. Sometimes if I don't know where to start, I'll even start by writing. I am writing automatically. I'm like, and then from there, I'll end up writing, I don't, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it won't be anything I thought of, but it'll be a message for me, from my guides or from my intuition. So claircognizance.
And the last two, I'm really not going to spend a ton of time on them unless you have some extra stuff to add, Danya, because I don't know. I don't really use these as much. I don't see them come up during circle as much, even with other practicing mediums. But that's clairaliance. Did I say it right? Which is
clairaliance,
which is clear smelling. So that's when you're doing a reading and you might get a whiff of somebody's cigarette, or you might get a whiff of brandy, or you might smell somebody's perfume or cookies baking. And you're going to give that information to the sitter because that's meaningful to them. Or maybe it was somebody's grandma's perfume that she wore. I like to joke about that because I feel like on all these like haunted house shows that are on TV, they're always like, "I smelled a rose perfume." And it's always roses. It's always flowers. And it's like, really? Is that all they wore? Is that all the people that have passed have ever worn, or like flower perfume? But that's another way that you can, you know, present evidence to the person that you're reading for, as you're doing the reading, is to give them that smell. The only time I think there's been a couple of times I've experienced it, but one time I went into my aunt's house. My aunt had passed away, and she was she smoked like a chimney. But her son, when she passed away, had renovated the house, so he knocked down all the walls. He basically gutted it and rebuilt it. And we were all there one time, and I was sitting in the living room just talking to them, and it was just a very brief smell of cigarettes that came through the house. And that was, to me, you know, her reaching out to just to let us know, you know, she's still around, she's still there. But that's just their way of sending a message through smell.
I love these. I do use these clairs a lot. I tend to use clairaliance and clairgustance. Y'all forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I use them a lot more when I'm communicating with my own family in the spirit world, more than I use them in other readings, but they do come up. So for example, a couple of weeks ago, I was going to the dentist, and y'all, I'm super, super, super scared of the dentist. Like, always have. When I was a little kid, I got banned from 4 different dentist offices. Like, I'm terrified of the dentist. So I hadn't been in a little bit, and I went and I had a bunch of dental work that had to be done, and I was so scared going into the dentist. And I'm outside, and all of a sudden I smell my mom's scent so strongly. My mom would have been the one taking me to the dentist and forcing me to go, you know. And I smelled, it wasn't just her perfume. It was like the total composite of her. You know how like you can smell the perfume, but also like each person has their own sort of scent. Mm-hmm. I could smell entirely like the composite of her smell. And I was like, oh, thanks for being here, Mom, because, I
That's so
hate
sweet.
this.
That's so nice.
Or I will smell my dad's cologne sometimes around the house. I notice I get this sense when things are quiet and still and I'm kind of by myself. Like if there's a lot of hustle and bustle around the house, I don't notice it as much. But like if I'm walking around the house late at night, I will smell my dad's cologne. What else? I get taste a lot.
That's the clairgustance.
So I'll give you a way that I like to practice clairgustance. I really should have looked up how to pronounce that before we did this. Whatever. Eat a what I call a composite food. So not an apple, not baby carrots, not, a vegetable in dip, like something like a pie or a cake or a stew or a chowder or something like that that has a bunch of different ingredients, especially if it's a pie or a cake where it can be blended all into the recipe, and then see if you can detect all of the different unique flavors in it. So it needs to not be like yellow cake.
Right. It
There's
needs to have
not a
some
lot of flavors.
strawberries in there. It needs to have a, something happen.
Right. This has got to be somewhere where somebody put a dash of this and a little pinch of this in it and a little bit of sprinkle of that. And you see if you can tell what are all the ingredients and see if you can taste them in a bite. So, like, take a bite, savor it, roll it around, notice every distinct flavor that makes up that recipe. That's my favorite way. I mean,
Sounds like
who
a
doesn't love
delicious
to have
way to
pie?
practice. Yeah. Call
And call it work.
it work. I'm practicing. Leave me alone. Let me eat this entire pie. Well, how do you find out what your strongest clair is? Like, how would one sit and figure out where is my strength? And really, it's just practicing using them. You can use some of the practices that we gave you during this episode. There is a book that I read a long time ago, one of the first books I ever read when I started this work. It's called Spirited by Rebecca Rosen. And she suggests just sitting quietly in a room, a quiet room, obviously, and notice what you notice first. Do you notice a feeling first? Do you notice a sound? Do you see something first? What are you noticing? Do you smell something? Do you taste something? What sense is your strongest? And maybe that's where you start practicing. Maybe that's the clair that you tune into and start practicing with first. It might be the easiest one for you to get a hold of, and then you move on to the next one. Another practice that I think is important that I work with a lot are affirmations, because I do have such a skeptical brain, and there's probably a lot of listeners out there that are a little skeptical like me. It's find it a little hard. You find it a little hard to trust what you're getting. And one thing that you can do is just to affirm the different senses. So it's safe for me to see. It's safe for me to feel. It's safe for me to hear. And I like those because of where my path came from, right? I came from a place of fear. I came from being a little girl that was afraid to see the things that I was seeing. So it really helped me to use those affirmations and make it made me feel like, okay, it's safe. This isn't a scary thing anymore. This is a helpful thing. This is a good thing. So that's another thing that you can do to help practice and strengthen your clairs. Did you have anything to add, Danya, before we wrap up?
This that probably I would say the strongest way to develop any of your clairs, no matter what they are, is to develop your own intuition and trust in yourself. And so, because you got to trust the information you're getting. So, in order to trust it, whether you're hearing it, smelling it, tasting it, seeing it, knowing it, it still requires you believing yourself to a certain degree. So the more that you can connect with your own intuition and connect with your own authenticity, being, in other words, being who you really are, trusting who you really are, and knowing that however you are is okay, whoever you are is good and worthy of connection, all of your clairs are going to develop anyway. And so when I first started, I kind of was a little overwhelmed at all of these things and feeling like I needed to go, you know, get a degree in all of these things and read every book imaginable and learn every practice imaginable. But the more you just love yourself and trust yourself, they all just develop naturally.
So we are going to end the episodes with a quick little way to walk with spirit every day. And Danya is going to lead us with these. We're going to end episode 2 with walking with spirit using your clairs.
So this is a simple exercise that can help you in your light work, in your physical form, in your daily work, in your relationships, whatever it is. And it's literally just this, taking a pause. Taking a pause at different moments throughout your day and stopping and saying, checking in with yourself. What am I feeling? What am I sensing? What am I knowing? What do I smell right now? What do I hear right now? What do I see right now? It's really just a good mindfulness practice to give yourself a couple of seconds to take a pause, take a deep breath, and then you're checking in with your body. You're checking in with your physical body. You're checking in with your mind. You're checking in with your heart. You can do this when someone asks you, do you want to do something? Stop and take the pause and check in on purpose. What does my body feel like? What do I know in my mind? What am I hearing? What am I noticing in my mind's eye? It could be when you're meeting someone. It could be when you're in a work meeting. It could be you're in the middle of doing chores around the house. Just randomly stop in any moment and check in with yourself. It kind of helps us from doing that snowball thing we do, you know, where we wake up and there's a million things and you just start go, 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 go. And you're just doing whatever you have to do. So learning to take these pauses can really help with that. If you're the type of person like me who just goes, set an alarm for that. Like set some random alarms. And when that alarm goes off, you stop and you just check in. What do I see? What do I feel? What do I know? What do I hear? And that can help you walk in a place where you are always in tune with your clairs. Because your clairs aren't just to use for others. They're also for you. Your gifts are for you. And so I'll remind us of that every week, more than likely. But your gifts are for you. So taking this moment is not only okay, but you're worthy of it and you deserve it. So yeah, take a pause this week. Check in with yourself. And while I'm on the subject, if you check in and your body says no, go ahead and use that word no, right? Like checking in with your body to know what is right for you.
All right, guys, that is the end of episode 2. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with episode 3. I think we're doing the chakras for that episode. So we're going to dive into each of those chakras and give you guys a little bit of information about those. Until then, if you have any questions or you have any ideas for topics that you want to hear about, please reach out. GreaterThanGhosts@gmail.com. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.